Good morning, St. Anne's family. Merry Christmas. Today is the first Sunday after Christmas, and in spite of the pandemic, I hope that you were able to enjoy a few bright moments during this holy season. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. I hope that you were able to enjoy some peace and quiet, enjoy some beautiful Christmas music, perhaps look at some twinkling lights in your own home and in your community. Although this is a wonderful holiday, sadly, instead of the above, maybe you relate more to stress, anxiety, and the oppression that is the story of the life of Christ. Perhaps you feel like maybe you've been in exile this year, isolated from family and friends, and worried about money, illness, and the consuming nature of this awful pandemic. We, like the nation of Israel, that we have heard in our Old Testament, we need the reminder that God created the world and that he is with us and in us and that he will bring salvation. So our gospel reading that we heard Father Dion read to us looks at our first chapter of John, and it begins with the discourse of the Word being with God from the beginning, as well as the story of John the Baptist, where John denies that he is the Christ. These two stories alone set the tone for the book of John by asserting the eternal existence of God and by determining the identity of Jesus. And since this is the first chapter of John, I thought it might be helpful to provide some foundation. And in researching for this sermon today, I found some wonderful information that I'm going to share with you, and I hope that maybe there will be a nugget of information that you find helpful in understanding our gospel. So let's get started. John is the fourth gospel, and you know it's different from the other gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And those three are similar, and we refer to them as the synoptic gospels. The audiences that the gospels were written to are very important. Matthew was written for a Jewish audience and emphasizes that Jesus, as the Messiah and the one who was promised, Matthew was written for a Jewish audience and emphasizes Jesus as the Messiah and the one who was promised and the one who would come to be the Jewish Messiah. Mark revealed Jesus as a servant, and in Mark we are told that Jesus revealed that he is a servant and how the Son of Man came to be served but not to serve. Luke speaks to Jesus' origin, birth, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension. So the first three gospels present the life of Jesus in pretty much the same format, and they focus more on what Jesus taught and did, whereas John focused more on who Jesus is. Historically, the Gospel of John was probably the last of the four written, and in view of what the other three had already said, that's why it was written the way it is. Also, this is one reason why John's account of the life of Jesus is in many ways different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Additionally, there are significant events in the ministry of Jesus from Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include, yet John leaves out. For example, Jesus' birth, his baptism, his temptation in the wilderness, confrontations with demons, teaching in parables, the Last Supper, the agony of Gethsemane, and the ascension. All of those are omitted in John. The first three Gospels center on Jesus' ministry in Galilee. John centers on the Gospel, on what Jesus did in Jerusalem. So each of the Gospels emphasizes a different origin of Jesus. And this was interesting. Matthew shows Jesus came from Abraham through David and demonstrates that he is a Messiah promised in our Old Testament. Mark shows that Jesus came from Nazareth, demonstrating that Jesus is a servant. Luke shows that Jesus came from Adam, demonstrating that Jesus is the perfect man. And John shows that Jesus came from heaven, demonstrating that Jesus is God. Also, John shows us who Jesus is by giving us Jesus' own words about himself, expressed in seven dramatic I am statements. These seven I am statements were not included in the first three Gospels. And John shows us who Jesus is by giving the testimony witnesses who testify about the identity of Jesus. Four of these witnesses speak in the first chapter alone of John. So this I really like. Jesus is a gospel written for a John is a gospel written for a specific purpose, that we might believe. This is a key verse for understanding the Gospel of John, and it is found at the end of John's Gospel, and here's what it says. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in him. So as John opens in our Gospel this morning, Jesus is presented to us as the Word, as the life, and as the light. Each of those is a way to speak of his deity. He is the Word because he is the communication of God. He is life because he is the very eternal life itself, who gives life to everything that lives. And he is the light because he is the one, the true illuminator, who illuminates the spiritual reality. So in John chapter 1, verse 1, you notice here that he begins a gospel account by simply introducing the main character, the Word. He doesn't begin with Mary or the proclamation of the angels. He doesn't begin even with the birth of Jesus. And the reason is because that is not when Jesus began. Jesus began long before those times. So the use of the word here, the use of the word here, is from the Greek logos and can be translated as a word which embodies an idea. Embodiment makes us think about incarnation. Logos, or the word to symbolize Jesus, the one who was with God before creation, is the same Jesus who was on earth. God has been with us since the beginning of time, and he has not abandoned us through history. Logos is identified as being equal in dividing status to that of God, and is a firmly, fully God. The idea of the Logos has deep and rich roots in both Jewish and Greek thinking. Jewish rabbis often referred to God, especially in his more personal aspects, in terms of his word, capital H. They spoke of God himself as the Word of God. For example, in ancient Hebrew, editions of the Old Testament have changed. Initially, Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. 2, Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet the Word of God. In the mind of this ancient, In the mind of the ancient Jews, the phrase, a word of God, could be used to refer to God himself. So the Greek philosophers saw the Logos as a power that puts sense into the world, making the world orderly instead of chaotic. The Logos was the power that set the word in perfect order, and it kept it going in perfect order. So Jesus' gospel opens with a view of who Jesus is. John asserts, in opposition to the synagogue leaders, that Jesus was a divine being. In trying to explain what he meant, he drew on the ideas from the Old Testament in Genesis that spoke about God's word or God's wisdom present to God before the world was created. The first chapter is not an introduction. It is a summary of John's entire gospel. The remainder of John's gospel deals with the themes introduced here: identity of the word, life, light, reawakening, truth, and the revelation of God, the Father, in Jesus the Son. So, in John's opening, he is speaking to both Jews and to Greeks. And he's saying, look, for years, for centuries, you've been talking, thinking, and writing about the Word. Now I will tell you who he is. John met both Jews and Greeks where they were at and explained Jesus in terms that they already understood. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, with this brilliant statement. John sets forth one of the most basic foundations of our faith, the Trinity. I love this deductive logic. He says, look, there is a being known as the Word. This being is God because he is eternal in the beginning. This being is God because he is plainly called God. The Word was God. At the same time, this being does not encompass all that God is. God the Father is a distinct person from the Word. So you see, before God created everything, we see and we know there was a communion of three separate persons of the Godhead who created all of us out of love, for love. Not just one being, but relationships and communion before time and everything. This is why we were created, to be in a healthy, loving relationship with God and each other. In this time of grasping the essence of the nature of God, it's urgent and important. So how does our church doctrine matter now? Well, we find in Scripture the teaching of the church that the nature of God is essential connectedness. This communion with God's own self gives us a glimpse into the very heart of God. And knowing that a deep connectedness describes well the universe which we live. And it speaks to the longings in our own hearts as we are separated from each other right now. So during this particular time, whenever we feel overwhelmed by the chaos and difficulty of life, we can turn to God in prayer and peace and serenity. In this time of uncertainty, fear and seclusion and separation from what we term normal, our human solution is to handle it ourselves. Why? We can do this. But that's not what our Bible and the Lord tells us to do. Turning to the Lord should probably be our first response, not our last resort. Remember in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So when terrible things are happening to us or to people around us, we can wonder, look, is God really there? Can he be trusted? Why isn't he helping me right now? Scripture tells us to suspend judgment as to whether something will prove to be good or bad in the end. And we all know COVID-19 is a bad thing. But there are some good gifts that God can bring even from this, I believe. As I think about my own life, and maybe this is true for you, through COVID-19, I have been reminded that I do not have any control in my life. COVID-19 has shown me that I am utterly and completely dependent on a living God, and that if I think I am in control of anything, that is merely an amusing illusion. Jesus Christ, God's Son, knew that he was utterly, completely, and totally dependent on his Father. So to the extent that you and I realize our dependence on God in these days, we are being conformed maybe a little bit into the image of his Son, Jesus, to be more like him. The relationship between God and humanity has a long story, one which continues. We heard our psalm earlier. It is a post-exile song praising God, the Redeemer of Israel, who restored the exiles and rebuilt Jerusalem. It is also a story that we can learn from. And just as the Israelites were found to be struggling and wandering for so many years, I think we are reminded by the gospel that we have heard today that God was in the world and is in the world for us, no matter how much we mess it up. Amen.